Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Ice Cold Takes podcast. I'm your host, Joey DiMeglio. The Rangers and Devils played an incredibly entertaining game last night at Madison Square Garden. Really should be called just Madison Octagon Garden because it was just fight night last night. All 10 players on the ice dropped their gloves as soon as the puck hit the ice. It was a great game. The Rangers won 4-3, and joining me today to talk about it all is Anna Dua from NHL and the NHL Network. So thanks for joining me, Anna. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you being on. So what did you think of that game last night? You were there at the Garden. Were you like close to the ice? Were you high up? Like, were you able to see all the players fighting?
Yeah. So I was in the press box when the fight broke out. So I had like the bird's eye view of it. Craziest start to a game that I've ever seen for a game that I've covered, for sure. It was wild. Like, as soon as the puck dropped, everyone went at it. Gloves were everywhere. The entire arena was like rocking and rolling. It was wild. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. It was absolute insanity.
Now, so before the game, they gave the starting lineups, and Rempe and McDermott were both out there at the same time. So I'm assuming that you thought those two were going to fight for sure, but definitely not like the rest of the players. Right.
Yeah, I didn't think anyone really expected like too much of a line brawl there, seeing like Keandre Miller and John Marino go at it are two guys that I really was not expecting. But the entire arena erupted when Rempe was announced in the starting lineup, and seeing McDermott out there, you kind of had a feeling that at least those two were going to try to do something that was left a bit unresolved in the last game the Devils played against the Rangers. I don't think anyone could have called that start. I wonder if the coaches had any idea if it was going to happen, because it was wild.
Laviolette said he didn't think it was going to happen. Yeah. But, I mean, they put both those players out there, like McDermott and Rempe. I knew those two guys were going to fight. But, like you said, I didn't think the other guys were going to fight. Definitely not Trouba and Miller. And both teams went down two defensemen, one pair for the entire game, 2 seconds into the game, which is crazy. But that energy level from the crowd, that persisted the entire night. Like, it didn't die down at all.
No, it didn't die down. I mean, the entire arena was buzzing. It was kind of a crazy game. Dawson Mercer got into a fight later, too. That's another player that does not fight. So it seemed like everyone was a little bit feisty. And the game was close, too. Like, it was a good game, solid hockey game. They did the best they could with the fact that the benches had so much empty spaces on them. But, like, I've just never seen anything like it. It was a close game. There was all the fights. Like, the entire arena was buzzing. That's probably one of the best games fans have been to.
Mike Rupp was there too at the game. I'm sure he had a good laugh seeing all those guys, all those sticks and gloves on the ice. Cause you know, like 10, what was it? 12 years ago, I think. Yeah. 12 years ago, he was part of that big line brawl, also Rangers Devil. So I'm sure he enjoyed that as well. But one thing that I've seen people talk about a lot about like those line brawls and those theatrics is like, is it good for the game? So, like, what do you think of that? Like, are those theatrics bad for the game? In my opinion, I think because that energy level, like you said, the energy level persisted throughout the entire night, I think it's good for the game. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I feel like I'm one of those people who I don't mind it. I don't think, like, I get where everyone's coming from, but for me, I think hockey is more than meets the surface, and there's a lot of roles that a lot of guys on teams play, and sometimes being able to incite that type of passion into your lineup and getting all the guys amped up is just as important as making those big skill plays. And I know we like seeing, like, the skill guys kind of take over the league right now, but getting some of, like, that old school hockey back, in my opinion, I think it's kind of like where the roots of the game are, in a way. And you can see the impact it's had on, like, the New York Rangers specifically. Like, ever since Matt Rempe got called up, he's changed the entire energy of this team. And I'm not saying the Rangers are playing as well as they are just because of him, but at the end of the day, him being on the ice makes every other player on the ice a better player, just knowing he's out there. So that's the kind of impact these type of situations have. So I think that it makes sense, but everyone has their own opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I don't know what the Rangers record is since he came up. Yeah, I don't know the exact record the Rangers have had, but it's got to be pretty good, because it's the Rangers' record since the All-Star break has been great. They've been playing some great hockey. But I don't know. They looked great in that first period last night, and then the second period, they made a bunch of mistakes. Like, what did you see in that second period where, like, the Devils came back with three straight to take the lead? Did you expect that to happen? Like, was that shocking?
So I do a lot of Devils broadcasts this season as well, and heading into this matchup, it was pretty lopsided in terms of season-long stats in favor of the Rangers. So I was expecting a little bit of pushback in this game. Like, the Devils had lost three heading into this game. Now, the Rangers obviously swept them this season, but they'd lost three games against the Rangers. They'd only scored more than one goal in one of those three games against the Rangers. Like, the numbers were not looking good on New Jersey's side of the ice. So I was thinking that this was going to be a little bit closer of a game, if not the Devils, like, really putting in an effort to win. But I think the start of this game was just so chaotic that afterwards, each team was just trying to do their best and figure out what best they could do given the situations they were in. It was super high energy the entire time. Not really shocked that the Devils had that strong of a second period. Kind of shocked with the way that the game ended up, though. I mean, getting that lead in New Jersey still, like, it's not looking great for them to make the postseason, but they weren't out of it, and every game was a must win for this team. So you would think that they would at least hope to make a statement and not let the Rangers sweep them this season. Didn't end up happening, but thought it was a good game. It was a close game, and the teams made a couple of mistakes, but that's what's going to happen in a game that's as chaotic as that one.
Yeah, definitely. And that's something to look forward to come playoff time for the Rangers. I don't know if the Devils are going to make a push big enough to make it to the playoffs. There's some good teams in front of them. But at first, like, I'll agree with you. Like, I thought the Devils pushed back in the second period. They really didn't do too much in the first. And I was concerned about, like, the lack of a 60-minute effort from the Rangers. But I think I'm going to walk that statement back, because they were playing really well, like, getting chances in the offensive zone. And it was just a couple turnovers. Bratt made some really good plays off Panarin. I think he made, like, two steals. One turned into a breakaway. He didn't score on it. And the other was led to Brendan Smith's tying goal. So I don't know. I think the Devils kind of woke up. I'll agree with you. They woke up in the second period. But then the conclusion of the game, like the third period, the way that all played out, how was, like, the energy from the crowd, like, when Kako scored to tie it? Was it like you – I know you said, like, the energy didn't die down at all, but it did it – pick way back up, or did it stay, like, mostly the same from that point on?
I feel like Madison Square Garden has definitely just been bumping as of late. They were pretty amped when, obviously, Kako tied the game. They were amped when Kreider scored. Like, at the end of the day, they're going to be excited. Their team's winning. It's looking really good. Like, the New York Rangers are looking the best they can heading into the postseason, and you can tell that the fans are super amped about it. But, yeah, this arena's been, like, buzzing. I've been there a couple of times for work over the past month or so, and it's certainly quite, quite loud. It's always one of those arenas that's a fun spot to be in for work. Like, Madison Square Garden is one of my favorite arenas to cover games in, but as of late, it's definitely the loudest I've heard it.
Yeah, I wonder if that has anything to do with, like, the Knicks, because they're playing well, they're playing great as well, and that doesn't usually happen where both teams are good at the same time. So maybe that contributes a little bit to it. But I wanted to ask you, I saw last night, this is pretty funny. Like, you did you have hiccups at the Garden?
I did have hiccups at the Garden. It was unfortunate. It was before I had to do a hit, like probably like 5 minutes before, and I was really nervous. You prepare for a lot of things working in sports, but getting the hiccups before you have to go on TV is definitely not one thing that I was prepared for. And I was like, oh God, like how am I supposed to talk about this game if I like cannot stop hiccuping? But they did go away before I had to do my hit. I got through it. So thank God.
What did Johnny come up and scare you?
Johnny wasn't there, actually. So Johnny was not at the game. I was left by myself to deal with my hiccup situation, but it's all good.
I heard if you drink water upside down, it helps. I don't know. One of my friends told me that. I thought it was ridiculous, but it worked for him. So
I think I just like scared myself into them going away because I was so nervous about what would have happened if they didn't. Like, what would I do in that situation? I was like, this is going to be an all-time terrible hit. And I feel like just scaring myself out of it made them go away. So, yeah.
How do you scare yourself, though? Like, what did you just pretend that calzones don't exist anymore or something?
Exactly that. No, I was just like, oh, my God, this is going to be a disaster. Like, this is bad. Everyone's going to tweet it out, and it's going to be terrible. I'm just thinking about, like, what it would have been like if I had to, like, I don't even know how I would have done it if I had the hiccups. It would have been, like, all time, probably worst moment in my career. So just thinking about that got them to go away.
It's crazy. Like, you, all this stuff, like, you know, you work for the NHL, like not looking in front of a camera, not speaking to a massive audience. None of that scares you, but it's like the hiccups. That's the thing that's going to hold you down. Like, of course. But like, I mean, how long have you been working like for the NHL? Like how many years?
So it's been 2 years, okay, so as of like a week ago. So yeah, I've been here for 2 years. Time is flying. This is my second full season with the league. So it's been a fun ride. Can't complain.
So what do you do exactly in the NHL office? Is it just social media or is it like stuff for the playoffs? Like what exactly do you do?
So like I'm a host and reporter, so we have like a bunch of different shows that we do and kind of all over the place for that. The league has its own studio shows that I'm a part of, and then I do other stuff for the network. I do stuff for like Devils for MSG, so kind of all over the place. Everyone always asks me like what I do, and I'm like, I don't know, it changes on a daily basis.
Okay, so that sounds like what Johnny used to do before he works at before he made it to Daily Faceoff. He was doing a lot of different things between college and the Rangers and stuff like that. But like what academically, like where did you start? Like did you go to school for like journalism or communications? Usually that's like the route people take, but what was your path to getting to the NHL?
Yeah, so I went to school for sports broadcasting up in Toronto. I'm Canadian, so I'm from Toronto. So yeah, did sports broadcasting like a lot of folks and ended up here, and that's kind of what I took in school. Pretty decent major to do what I'm doing right now.
Okay. So the playoff show that you guys do with Johnny, that's only on YouTube, or is that like broadcasted on TV? Mm-hmm.
That's on YouTube. So it's on the NHL's YouTube channel. We did it last season. It was super fun. We'll see if we're doing it again this season. Not too sure, but last season it was a blast for sure.
You guys got to get better pizza. I saw that last year.
Yeah.
I don't know if Johnny told you, but my parents own a pizzeria. So, I mean,
oh, really? Oh, that's awesome.
You guys should order from. I'm kidding. It's so far away from where the NHL offices are. It's not even close. Like, I would, but it's like, it would be impossible to get there. I'm not driving in Manhattan or the city or to New York. If it's a caucus, though, maybe. I don't know.
Oh,
that's where
really?
NHL Network is, right?
That is where NHL Network is. Yeah, it's in Secaucus.
Yeah. I saw it. Was that you that folded that pizza like a calzone?
That is me. Yeah, that's my thing.
Oh, my gosh. What's going on with that? You and Johnny, like the food takes and stuff.
They're not great, but, you know, that's how I've always eaten my pizza. I didn't even know there was anything wrong with it. But once again, I'm Canadian. People in New York take their pizza way more seriously than people in Canada do. Learned that the hard way. So, yeah.
Yeah, we're all fun here. Just joking around. But my nephew, when he was a baby, he used to... How did he eat the pizza? He folded it like end over end, like instead of like the normal way you fold it, like he folded it like a taco. And we were dying like the way he figured that out as like a 2-year-old.
I respect it.
Yeah. Just don't have as bad as food takes as Johnny Lazarus is with the chicken parm, no sauce, and pop ketchup. Just don't do that, and you're good.
I'll try my best.
Yeah. Anyways, back into hockey, because I know this is a hockey show, and I should continue to talk about hockey instead of other people's food takes. But anyways, Jacob Trouba came back from injury a few games ago, and fans are like getting restless online. I don't know how closely you follow stuff on social media. You're probably on it all the time, but people are going crazy with how poorly the Miller Trouba pair has been. What have you thought about, like, from your eyes, how Trouba has played and that pair, Trouba Miller, since that injury, since he came back from injury a few games ago?
I know that I have seen that a lot of folks are not too thrilled about it, and I'm not going to say like it's a bright spot in my eyes for the Rangers for sure right now. They're playing well as a team. I think they're just trying to find areas in which they can improve, and that for me, it's one of the situations where I just do think it could be better. And I agree with what a lot of the fans are saying right now. It hasn't really impressed me. And I think in Trouba's absence too, you saw some of their other blue liners step up and really make some strides. Like, I was particularly really impressed with the way Braden Schneider played. And I think he took advantage of the opportunity he was given when Trouba was out. And it was very evident to me. So kind of seeing the way other guys stepped up and seeing their potential, because they are, like, honestly quite young. I think people forget that oftentimes. Like, Trouba's a veteran presence on this team. Keandre Miller not that old. Braden Schneider's not that old. So these guys are still finding their footing, learning some chemistry, and it's going to take some trials and errors to figure it all out. But I think just seeing their individual ceilings is promising for the Rangers in the future, to see the players that they have on their blue line and what they can do, even if, like, the current situation may not be performing the way they need it to.
So you would expect the pairs to stay the same, like not really any experimentation with, you know, like maybe go back to Miller Schneider, because that was working. You said you were impressed by Schneider, and I agree. I think he was playing some of his best hockey a couple weeks ago when he was paired with Miller. But you don't think like they're going to change up the pairs? They're just going to roll with it?
You never know. They might. It's all fair game. This is an interesting part of the year, I think, that the Rangers are in, because they're making the playoffs. Like, it's all set in stone. Some other teams are still battling to get in there, but if they wanted to test some stuff out before the postseason and switch those pairs around, this would be the time for them to do it. They can't get too comfy. Carolina's right on their tails right now, depending on who they want to play or what situation they want to end up in. I don't even know, like, what's going to be the best outcome, because it seems like getting a good position in your own division standings might not be the best situation if you end up playing like the Tampa Bay Lightning or someone like that. So don't know what's happening in the East right now and what situation folks want to end up in, but this is an opportunity that the Rangers have to try some stuff out before the postseason, because then there's no room really for error once you get into the playoffs.
What did you think of Zach Jones when in that time where Trouba and Gustafson were hurt? Did he stand out to you?
Yeah, that was another one. Honestly, like, I think that he impressed me as well. It's just like, once again, like, you have to give certain players a little bit of bandwidth to figure out their game. Like, it did impress me a lot, like, how many shots on goal like Zach Jones was able to produce, and you could really see his presence out there. And even if he didn't get on the score sheet, like, I know he did sometimes, but it's like, even if he didn't, you could definitely see the impact that he was making. And you got to give these players some time. It takes strides. It takes effort to make it into the NHL and have a lasting impact and have a lasting role. And so many of these guys are just so incredibly young, and I'm sure they're going to figure it out. But I was very impressed with a lot of the players when Trouba was out and how they kind of performed given that extra amount of ice time and opportunity.
Yeah. I don't know about you. I would like to see Jones come in the lineup for Gustafson for at least for a couple more games. I don't know about if Laviolette will do it for the playoffs, because he's so young and he hasn't played in the playoffs before. But like, maybe for like a game two, I don't know. Like, could you see something like that happening where Laviolette scratches a veteran in favor of a younger guy with this group of guys? Or is that like unrealistic?
You never know. It could happen. Like, anything is fair game, to be honest, in the postseason. It depends on a nightly basis. I'm not Peter Laviolette. I don't know what decision he's going to make. But at the end of the day, like, Erik Gustafson is a player, too, that I think is kind of like sneaky and could be a good piece for the Rangers if need be. He impressed me with Washington. I thought he was like pretty decent over there, and I was pretty excited when he came to the Rangers. I thought that was like a pretty decent addition that they had. So I think he's being a little bit undervalued. There's a lot of good things about this team, but you never know. Like once the postseason rolls around, all of a sudden, like, it starts fresh. And some of these performers we're seeing who are having like great regular seasons, they may not have the best postseasons. And some of these performers we're seeing who are not having the regular season a lot of folks expected them to might be like the playoff superhero. So I've been a fan of him in the past. I think he's pretty decent. So I'll give him an opportunity to stay in the lineup over Zach Jones. Zach Jones still has some time to go in my eyes.
It's a good point you made about how some players that play well in the regular season maybe not show up as much in the playoffs. Like, a lot of people called out Panarin for that last year. Hopefully that doesn't happen again this season. I don't think it will because he's playing really, really well. This is probably the best season he's had in his career. Actually, it is, because he's never had 100 points before. So moving on to one of my final questions here for you. Who's your pick to win the Stanley Cup?
So in the preseason, I made my predictions for the year and how it was going to pan out, and I had Carolina winning the Stanley Cup, and I'm still going to stick behind that. I think it's the Hurricanes' year. Sorry, I hate to break it to you, but I think that this team is just so well-equipped to go into the postseason, and they kind of solidified that at the trade deadline with adding the pieces that they added. They're usually a team that does not make a splash at the trade deadline, and this year they added Jake Gensel, they added Evgeny Kuznetsov, and they look scary. Frederik Andersen's back. It's looking good for Carolina, so I'm sticking with that.
Do you think that they're going to go through the Rangers in the playoffs to get there?
You never know. I don't know how it's going to shape out. Like, this is honestly like the year I've said this multiple times on so many shows. I don't remember a season where this many teams were still in contention to make the postseason this late in the year. Like, the second wild card spot is pretty much anyone for the taking. No one wants to play Tampa. So the way the East is going to pan out, there's going to be no easy road to like the Eastern Conference final. And I don't know how it's going to shape up. You don't even know if the Flyers are going to finish third in the Metro. You don't know if it's going to switch with someone else. So could not tell you any playoff matchup until it's like locked and loaded. And then we'll see how it pans out.
Okay, we've reached Ice Cold Takes time, the Ice Cold Takes segment. An accurate statement backed by facts and observations that is solid in nature, similar to a block of ice, i.e. spot on claim. You've had enough time to think about this, so I need you to make like a bold prediction, like who's winning the division, the Metropolitan Division, and how far is that team going to make it in the playoffs?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think the Rangers are winning the Metropolitan Division. That's not my ice cold take. I still think Carolina is taking it, so I don't know how far the Rangers are going to make it into the postseason. I think Carolina is the strongest team set up for the playoffs in the Metro, but my ice cold take, at least for the Rangers, is I think that Vincent Trocheck is going to lead the Rangers in points in the postseason.
Ooh, I like that one. That's a good one. He has been playing really, really well. That's actually my ice cold. That's related to my ice cold take. Sorry, it's not the exact same. But 10 years ago, the Rangers had a line. Their third line was Pouliot, Brassard, and Zuccarello was their third line. And that was like their best line all season. I think this year that Panarin, Trocheck, Lafreniere line is like that equivalent, the 2014 equivalent. So that's my ice cold take. Nothing too fancy or whatever, but I like yours. Trocheck leading the Rangers in points for the playoffs. That's a good one. Anything else to wrap it up? Anything else you want to add before we wrap up the interview here? Where can people find you?
You can find me on my socials at Anna Noel Du on Instagram and Twitter, and then all over the NHL, the NHL Network, anywhere. I don't think I'll be on MSG Networks for too much longer with the way the Devils are playing as of late, but I know this is a Ranger podcast, but I gotta pump the New Jersey Devils as well. It's been a blast getting to cover their games all season.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you enjoy working for MSG Networks. I'm glad like the experience is good. That's nice to hear that someone that's going into the field soon, just to reassure myself that I'm getting into the right field here. You know what I mean? Like that the experience is good and stuff. Well, anyways, Anna, thanks so much for joining and doing this with me. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
All right. And thanks again to Anna Dua for coming on the podcast and doing the interview with me. I know what you might be thinking. Joey, what the hell? Usually you end the episodes after the interview. Why is there another segment here? Well, I mean, this interview was really short and I wanted to take some time to talk about my competition career in Taekwondo. And you might be thinking, what does that have to do with the New York Rangers? Well, I'll tell you. But first, I'll talk about the Rangers game against the Red Wings last night. I thought the third and the fourth lines were absolutely incredible. These were the best games that they've played all year, especially for the fourth line. I mean, Barclay Goodrow finally looks like he's coming into his own right now. He's playing like the $3.6 million player that the Rangers paid for in the 2021 offseason. This is one of the worst seasons a player could possibly have for Goodrow, honestly. All the struggles he's endured, I know he went through an injury or two there. He's probably banged up here and there. But effectiveness, performance has not been up to par. His analytics are very bad. He's been an anchor for the fourth line for a while. But recently, he started to play a lot better, and I will give him credit for that. So I'm happy that he's, you know, finally producing, and I hope he could play like this in the playoffs because the Rangers are going to need it. I was listening to it on the I think on Vince's podcast, Vince Mercogliano's podcast yesterday, about how the ice shrinks in the playoffs and the Rangers are going to need, you know, they're going to need the nitty gritty guys to create some space for guys like Panarin and Kreider and Zibanejad. So if Goodrow is at 100%, that only benefits the Rangers. I know that he's had his struggles in the past and he's held the team back, but if he could play like the way he did last night in Detroit, then that's all power to the Rangers going forward. Now for Johnny Brodzinski and Jimmy Vesey, I mean, those two guys I thought hadn't been as good as they were like earlier in the season. Vesey especially. Brodzinski was in and out of the lineup too with Rempe. But I tweeted it after the game or posted it. How could you put Rempe back in when you get that performance from Brodzinski, Vesey, and Barclay Goodrow? I mean, that was an outstanding performance by them. They were getting chances all night. They spent barely any time in their own zone. So I mean, this is what you need for the Rangers. If you're the Rangers, this is what you need going into the playoffs. Finally have four lines that you could roll. I said it on last week's podcast that I felt like any line you could throw them out there and they could score. And that's, it seems to be proving the case right now. So I guess that was my ice cold take last week, because I'm right. And we all know what ice cold takes are, but anyways, you know, the third line too, Will Cooley, I'm glad he's back in that spot next to Wennberg and Kako. I thought that's the spot he belongs in. And I didn't think he was playing that poorly. He did make a very bad mistake against Pittsburgh on Monday this week, that led to the third goal on the breakaway by Pittsburgh and sealed the deal. That was the game winner. The Rangers couldn't come back from that. They got it as close to 3-2 before the Penguins got two empty netters to make it 5-2, and that was the game. But I thought Will Cooley was great last night. And again, the third and fourth line, depth scoring is something you're going to need. Assuming that the first and the second lines are going to come through, and we still need Zibanejad to start scoring. We still need Kreider to start scoring at 5-on-5. I'm going to keep hammering that point home, but I will say Zibanejad, in addition to last week when me and Nick were talking about how, or Nick was saying that Zibanejad is starting to skate and move the puck on his own, he looks so much more confident in himself. Once he gets that shot down, then it's we're cooking with gas here. I mean, Roslovic has been pretty meh recently. Kreider has picked it up on the power play, but again, we need the 5-on-5 scoring to come through. But I'm going to give credit to Zibanejad right now. Defensively, he's been great. Penalty killing defensively, And this hasn't been like a one or two games thing. I think it's been like the entire season. He's been very good defensively. And that's something that's overlooked because he's not providing the offense that an $8.5 million player should be providing. I mean, we're paying him that money to score 40 goals, not just play some defense, right? Like, he needs to be good at both ends of the ice, not just good in the defensive zone. That's what the Rangers are paying for, and that's what they need to be getting for him in the playoffs. Now, when it comes to my competition career, which I hinted at earlier, I want to say that I didn't figure this out until I was an undergrad, but my sort of my life, my competition career, was a parallel of what the Rangers were in 2012 to 2017. I never played hockey. I never laced up skates. I never put on the pads. I was just a fan of the game. So this is just a long way of saying I know the mentality of a professional athlete. Like, I know I never played. It wasn't professional that I played, but I competed on ESPN. I won a championship on ESPN. I've been to world championships. I've competed for the title of world champion before. It's very similar. The things that go through your head, they're very similar. So from 2012 to 2017, which you'll recall were the main years the Rangers were, the main window the Rangers had for competing for the Cup, the last window that they had before this current window right now, from 2022 to right now, those were the years that I was competing for world champion. Those years were the years that I made, we called it top 10 or the tournament of champions. So it went by division, right? So it was black belts, right? So it would go by degrees and by age. So my division, when I finished, was the 15 to 17 year old second and third degree black belts. Now, I wasn't the best fighter or anything. I wasn't a spar. I was more of a forms and weapons guy. What that is just like a set of movements from start to finish. You know, you demonstrate skill, precision, accuracy, power, height, you know, discipline, focus, all that stuff. And it was subjective. It was scored by three judges. A lot of it had nothing to do with me. A lot of it was outside of my control. And, you know, that being said, there was only so much I could control. And, you know, left up to the judges, there was plenty of times where I would feel mad that I didn't get the result that I wanted. And a lot of it, so I realized in college that my journey was kind of paralleling the Rangers. After 2017, my senior year in high school was 17, 18. That's when I stopped competing and I decided to focus on college and school and teaching at my Taekwondo school. And the reason I did that was because I was burned out. I couldn't win. I wasn't able to win. I wasn't able to come through and finish my goal of winning a world title. The closest I got was that ESPN championship. And I finished third place twice in my division. And I mean, it was a great accomplishment, but I had a lot that I wanted to, I wasn't satisfied with that. But at the same time, I didn't have enough in me. I didn't have enough in the tank to do it another year, to give it another run. Because I had felt that at the time, there was only so much that I can control. And I put everything into that those last two seasons of competition. The last two seasons of competition, one of those years, 2016, in October of 2015, was when I was selected to compete at ESPN in Orlando at Nationals. And I was one of eight people in the United States selected to compete. And I won. I won one of the titles there. So it was me against one of my competitors and I won. And that was one of the big things that I accomplished. And the following year, 2017, was really my last chance at the title. And so I had changed everything about my training regimen. I changed my diet. I changed the way that I trained. I trained harder. I trained faster. I trained smarter. I would train with weights. I trained for speed. I would train for power. I changed everything about the way that I was, all so that I could have just a chance at winning the world title. Unfortunately, that wasn't the way that it ended up. I didn't get the title, and I was left upset. And one of the big things, too, that stands out to me is that with our competitions, it goes from June to June, right? It went from June to June, right? So you compete that entire year, and then you would have from like April to June to train extra hard for the Tournament of Champions, right? So when you get to the Tournament of Champions, you compete, and that whoever wins is the world champion. Then the following day, the new competition season starts, right? So I was already at Worlds, and the new competition season started, and I wanted nothing to do with it. I didn't want to compete. I didn't want to suit up. I didn't want to do anything. I was so tired of competing. But I was my parents encouraged me to do it, and I did it. And I went in not caring at all, not having one care in the world. And it was honestly my best performance in the event that I cared strongly about, which was Creative Weapons, a choreographed routine to music. And I went up against some hard-hitting competitors. It was the same people I competed against the previous days. I went against the world champion and a former world champion. I tied with them. In that new competition season, I won. I came and won the tiebreaker. And one of my other competitors, one of the other competitors that I used to compete against, who was in my ring previously, his father came up to me and he was watching me. And he thought I was crazy for calling it quits. He said I was at the top. And I went out knowing that I was at the top. And so this started my rebuild, so to speak, of my life. You know, when I went to college, that's me trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. I thought I wanted to be a doctor. I thought that's what I wanted to do. I thought I wanted to be a pharmaceutical sales rep. It turns out that's not what I wanted to do. What I really wanted to do was cover the Rangers and talk about hockey and talk about sports and the Mets and the Jets and all that stuff, because it related so much to my life. And those 4 years of undergrad was just a journey for me to get to the point to where I needed, where I knew I wanted it to be. And that's the same length of time that it took for the Rangers to go through their rebuild. By the end, 2021-22 was the season that I had graduated, and the Rangers made it to the Eastern Conference Finals that year. That was the year they knew that they had a core in place that could take them to the promised land. So I understand what it's like here, being an athlete, you know, the training, all the days that you lose, how you respond to a loss. I may not have laced up the skates before, but I know what it's like to, you know, suffer a loss, to not be good enough to win, to be so disappointing, to let yourself down. Like the season the Rangers had last year, where the expectations were oh so high, only for them to drop in the first round to the rival Devils. I've had seasons like that before where I didn't train hard enough, where I wasn't good enough, and I had to come back, pick up the pieces, and train harder and do it all over again. And most of all, the thing that hurts the most as fans is losing the final game of the season and having to wait a whole nother year to get back to that point. I know that feeling all so well. 2012 to 2017, all those times I lost, even when I did win third place, that feeling of I have to wait another year to get back to this point and go through another year of training and hardship and processing, competition, do it all over again just to get back to that point with no guarantees of winning. I understand that, which is why I think that the Rangers have it in them too to get to that point. I think they have enough guys to get to that point where they could make it to the Stanley Cup Finals again, like they did in 2014. I wasn't ready back then to win in 2014, but I'm ready to win now. I'm saying that as a fan and as a person that's dedicated to my career in sports journalism. I'm ready to go out and get a job. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And I think this is the mentality that the Rangers should have moving forward, going into the playoffs. We have 5 games left. If you're listening to this on Sunday, there'll be 4 games left after the game. It's go time now, and I think the Rangers have it in them to make a deep run here. But if it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be. And this doesn't change how I feel about the team and how I feel about my life, win or lose, because I know that the journey is more important than the end goal. I finished knowing that I was at the top and I didn't pursue a championship because I didn't think I was satisfied with with my with everything that I had done. But reflecting on it now, I know that the journey that I put into it and all the work and the time that I put into it developed me into the person that I am now. So as fans, it's a little bit different. You know, we want them to win, and it's going to suck if they don't win. But to them, down the line, they're going to realize what this run meant for them. This is an incredible season for the Rangers. They still have a shot at setting the franchise record for wins in the regular season. This is Panarin's best season. So I'm not going to criticize anybody right now. I'm just going to say and echo what Marty St. Louis said in one of his speeches in the locker room after his mother passed on Mother's Day when he scored the goal. He gave the hat to everybody, and he said, when you have a dream, when you have this goal, you have to picture it, and you have to see it through to the end. That dream is valid. It's insight. It's realistic, and that you could attain it. So I think the Rangers, my final point here before we end the podcast, is that I think the Rangers should start talking about the Stanley Cup more and envision themselves lifting it up in June and making it to the end and making a deep run. Don't be scared about lifting the cup. Don't be shy and think it's a jinx. I think that the Rangers really should enjoy the process, cherish all the moments they have with themselves, but they should make it a point that the cup is our goal here. We don't want just a deep run. We want to make it to the end, not just the end, win in the end. So I think that the Rangers have a good shot at making it to the Stanley Cup Finals, and I think they have a great shot at winning the Cup. I think they have the guys that it takes. They have the goaltending. They have the defense. If Zibanejad could pick it up, the scoring, if Kreider could pick up the scoring and play like he did in the playoffs last year, then I think the Rangers have a great shot at winning the Stanley Cup. So that's it for me. I hope you guys enjoyed my little spiel here, my rant. Let's go Rangers. Hey Rangers fans, thank you so much for listening to the Ice Cold Takes podcast this week. Make sure you follow at Ice Cold Takes Pod on Twitter to stay up to date with the latest Rangers info. See you all next week. Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay.